Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, May 8th. We'll tell you about a new affordable housing community that opened downtown. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. This Mother's Day weekend, as San Diego is a border region, Custom and Border Protection is reminding any travelers coming from Mexico to declare all flowers and plant materials. CBP says the weekend leading up to Mother's Day likely brings an increase in people traveling with greenery and bouquets. The agency says even a single pest could cause widespread damage to agriculture, and plants, flowers, and soil must be screened by agricultural specialists. They say typically flowers like roses and carnations are generally allowed, but to declare all items to avoid potential penalty. A learning platform called Canvas went down Thursday at universities across the country. Schools use it to manage assignments and communicate with students. That includes all California State University campuses, where students are starting to take their final exams. Zoe Schenk is a freshman at SDSU. She was planning to take one of her final exams on Canvas Thursday.
Our main source of communication with our teachers and how we submit all of our assignments being down is a little stressful, and I have friends back home. I'm out of state and everyone's dealing with it, and I think it's just like not what we need right at this finals time.
San Diego State says there is no evidence hackers have obtained social security numbers or banking information. The university asked faculty to be flexible with student deadlines. Students at UC San Diego also reported not being able to access Canvas Thursday. A warming trend continues today and into early next week. High temperatures should land 7 to 15 degrees above average for our inland areas. Downtown's high temperature is expected to be near 73 degrees on Friday and 76 degrees on Sunday, with lows landing around 60 degrees. An extreme heat watch is in effect starting Sunday morning and continuing through Tuesday evening. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
San Diego County is known for being one of America's most expensive regions. KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, explores the real cost of living, from rising grocery prices to car insurance premiums. Follow our series at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego.
A new affordable housing complex in downtown San Diego officially opened its doors Thursday. As reporter Alexander Wen tells us, it was an emotional day for one formerly homeless resident.
When I moved here, I couldn't believe it. It was a dream.
Choking back tears, Isabel Fuentes recounts her story from homelessness to moving into Jacaranda on 9th. It's an affordable housing complex in Cortez Hill. The 88-unit complex is for households earning less than 25% of the area's median income. 14 units are reserved for formerly homeless individuals. Those residents also receive wraparound services from PATH, or People Assisting the Homeless. Tyler Renner is with PATH.
The idea is to really get self-sufficient and learn financing, budgeting, grocery shopping, how to manage their lives, how to work towards their goals.
To qualify for a home here, people need to enroll with a service provider, such as the Housing Commission, to be added to the waiting list. Fuentes was on a housing wait list for 6 years before moving in. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
ICE has released details on thousands of arrests agents have made in San Diego and Imperial counties during President Trump's second term. Reporter Elaine Alfaro says the new information comes from members of San Diego's congressional delegation.
ICE agents arrested nearly 10,500 people in the two counties between January 2025 and April. More than 1,400 of these arrests were in or near sensitive locations, including schools, churches, and hospitals. ICE released these numbers in April after congressional representatives Scott Peters, Mike Levin, Sarah Jacobs, and Juan Vargas sent a letter last July asking for transparency on ICE's tactics and operation. Here's Peters.
It's very clear once again that this effort is not what Trump promised, which was to get rid of the worst of the worst.
The representatives asked how many detained and deported individuals did not have a violent criminal record. That question remains unanswered.
There's a reason that they didn't give it to us. If they had been just deporting felons, that would have been the first sentence in the letter. Of course they're not.
Peters said he doesn't expect answers unless and until Democrats win the majority in the House of Representatives this fall.
And at that point, I think we'll have more tools to do oversight.
ICE did not respond to questions from KPBS. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
The Escondido Public Library was supposed to be back home by March, but that deadline has come and gone. The library is still operating out of a temporary space in the North County Mall as renovation continues on its regular location. Our media partner KGTV spoke to Escondido Library Director Reno Landa, who says progress is being made.
We're at the point of carpeting being installed, lighting being installed, final touches, final changes as we find and complete areas. The main work that's left to be done is going to be exterior of the building.
That includes a solar panel project in the parking lot. The library is now expected to open in August. Next week, the San Diego International Fringe Festival returns for its 14th year to celebrate uncensored creativity from here and abroad. This year, it expands its footprint and prepares to welcome global leaders for the World Fringe Congress. Here with a preview is arts reporter Beth Accomando.
San Diego International Fringe has faced obstacles over the years. Its earlier home base, the Spreckles Theater, was sold, so it had to relocate. Then COVID forced a closure and reboot. But this year is about growth and expansion.
We're here for our third year of the International Fringe Festival based at 49th and Logan Multicultural Complex. And so, Sean, I can hardly wait to show you the third venue.
Kata Pierce Morgan is an artist with a show at Les Girls Theater, but she's also the owner of a Lincoln Park property she's rechristened the 49th and Logan Multicultural Complex, where she's just added a new venue for producing director Sean Davis to use.
And it's called Golden Corpse Theater, where there's art, there's hope.
Incredible. It's an incredible space, and I can't wait to be able to start using it and inaugurate it for the San Diego National Fringe Festival.
Davis is also excited about returning to San Diego State University to add venues.
They are partnering with us, so we've got three venues there. We're doing the SDSU main stage, formerly the Don Powell, the Prebys Theater, and the Experimental there.
Fringe is also extending the reach of its BYOV, or Bring Your Own Venue, north to Poway and south to Ensenada, where San Diego Fringe founder and CEO Kevin Charles Patterson is now living.
And it seemed like the perfect opportunity for us to add a venue down in this expat community I live in, and we're just looking at it as a pilot to try it out.
This year, San Diego Fringe is proud to host the World Fringe Congress. Holly Lombardo is the managing director of the international organization, which turns 20 next year.
What we set out to do is connect Fringe Festival directors and producers all over the world together and support them with creating new festivals and to share knowledge between festivals, basically. And now we support 300 Fringe festivals all over the world, all in different shapes and sizes. From the Edinburgh Fringe, which is the longest standing and largest in the world, to some of the smaller ones with 10, 15 events.
Attending an early World Fringe Congress was life-changing for Patterson.
It was so inspirational that from that time and that visit, I said, this is what I want to do. But what it brings to San Diego and what makes it special for us having it in San Diego is it puts us on this global arts and culture spotlight.
But it's doing so at a challenging time, with the festival looking to potentially severe budget cuts and artists facing obstacles to travel, says Davis.
One of our groups from Italy, not only were they denied a visa, they were told that they couldn't reapply for 10 years. So that was kind of shocking.
Davis also had to contend with the new paid parking policies in Balboa Park.
And I did not do daytime shows in Balboa Park this year. I've got one group that's doing some early shows, only because they can only be here for one day. But for all the other shows, we don't start Balboa Park until 6 p.m. so that we can kind of avoid having our audiences have to pay for parking.
Being able to creatively pivot is just one reason Lombardo loves Fringe and calls herself a Fringeaholic.
What excites me about them is the innovation and the forward thinking and the generosity of spirit that comes with the people that run them and the artists that take part in them and the venues that support them. It's lively, it's invigorating. The tickets are not expensive. It is a very exciting place to be. And the more you immerse yourself into it, the more you will get out of it, basically. And that goes for everybody, artists, festival directors, and audiences.
As a certified Fringeaholic myself, I encourage everyone to at least dip a toe into Fringe and sample one show or spend an evening at one hub to experience the uncensored, audacious spirit that's uniquely Fringe. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend event ideas happening across the county that you and yours can take part in. On Friday, MiraCosta College's Oceanside Campus is hosting two free lectures from 1 to 3 p.m. The first is called Stories of San Diego's Food Community, and the second is the U.S. Roots of Central American Migration, which the event page says looks into how U.S. policy in Central America helped to create the modern refugee crisis. Starting on Saturday, all focus turns to mothers. In National City, Arts After Dark is putting on Mother's Day Paint Night. Attendees will learn how to paint a beautiful flower and hummingbird scene. Also on Saturday, if you're short on ideas, you can celebrate Mama by going to a floral workshop at North City. The event is in collaboration with a coffee shop for our caffeine lovers, and attendees will create a giant paper peony for Mama. Information for these events and more can be found on kpbs.org/events. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Hard to ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways, and one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.